Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit Seeker Hour. Spirit Seeker Hour is your chance to delve into the world of your inner spirit. The Spirit Seeker Hour is brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine. Go to www.spiritseeker.com to find out more. And now, here's Cindy Meyer.
Hello and welcome. This is Cindy Meyer and this is the weekly Spirit Seeker Hour. And it's from 7 to 8 or 7 to 9 each and every week. And you can find out more information at www.blogtalkradio.com/Cindy Meyer, which is spelled C-Y-N-D-E-M-E-Y-E-R. Or you can go to the Spirit Seeker website, which is spiritseeker.com. And on the website, there is a, and by the way, I want you to go there anyway because it is new and we're still working out kinks. And if you find something that that you like or needs improvement, we'd appreciate the feedback. But if you go to the Spirit Seeker website, you can look at the left-hand corner, and you will see a link directly to the radio show, and every single show that I've ever done is archived here. So tonight, as you listen, you may think of someone, someone may come to mind that you think of that would really enjoy the two different people that I'm interviewing tonight, and you can say, oh my gosh, I listened to the most amazing show, and you can listen to it too, because all the shows are archived immediately after they are finished. So just a little bit about Spirit Seeker, and then I'm going to bring on our first guest for the evening. Spirit Seeker started in 1996 as a newsletter that was a quarterly newsletter, and then in 1997 it became a full-fledged magazine, tabloid style, in St. Louis. And then in 2002 it went to a monthly publication still in St. Louis, but then 3 years ago we expanded, actually three and a half, we expanded into the Kansas City area and then all throughout Missouri, and now our most latest edition is Chicago. The other thing that's exciting is that we have the print magazine in the Midwest, but then the online magazine is growing. We will be almost doubling that in size. We'll still have a print magazine in the Midwest, but we would really love for our regular paper readers to read it online, our listeners here tonight to read it online, because we are working with authors, just as the one I'm about to bring on. We work with authors, we work with cutting edge people who are doing the frontline work in mind, body, spirit, medicine, and science and spirituality. So it's just fun. It's an exciting time on the planet, and you will see that I am Cindy Meyer, the publisher of this wonderful magazine, and I just want to thank our readers, thank our advertisers, thank the people who lovingly support it. Last week we were in Kansas City with Deva Pramal and Meetin, her husband, and Manos, a flute player from Nepal, and that was just an amazing experience to have over 600 people in one room chanting and just doing devotional singing. So that was exciting. Okay, so Spirit Seeker, you can see everything online at spiritseeker.com. Now tonight we have a two-hour show. Our first guest is Dr. Sue McDaniel, and she has quite an interesting background. She comes from corporate America, where she has done all kinds of teaching. I guess I should, maybe I shouldn't say corporate America. We'll have Sue explain it in just a minute. But she's a teacher. She has her doctorate. She's worked with a lot of different companies in developing training materials and delivered programs for government agencies, businesses, and organizations at the state, national, and international level. She has. She loves animals. She loves nature. She loves art. She loves music and books. And she has written this book that is really quite amazing called I Am Heart. So, Sue, are you there?
I am here, Cindy.
Okay. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome.
And, thank you so much.
You know, this is just like such an interesting background as a teacher, is, and all the different work that you've done. And I'm just wondering if you would share how your work developed into writing the book that you've written and developing all the tools that, you know, you're developing. And, I mean, were you reading the not reading, that's not the right word, but did you just see, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, you can gauge an audience, you can gauge, when you're a teacher, you can see when people are getting it and when they're not. And my sense is that you have been doing this work for a long time with heart consciousness.
Actually, I have. When I taught school, I would see kids come to school that, you know, were wonderful children but didn't have a chance in the world of learning today because of whatever happened at home or whatever I should have known and wasn't brave enough to ask. You know, didn't have shoes, didn't have clothing, didn't have anything. And it was such a loss to see that child come and know that, you know, they were absolutely capable of learning and weren't going to do it. I guess that was the first that I saw and noticed, and it really broke my heart, you know, that there were so many scars or so many experiences there that stopped them from being able to be successful, being able to grow, being able to learn.
You know, so, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So you watch that, you know, and then about this time I was watching myself grow too and learn and transition and grow out of some childhood things that I had carried around. And so it was like, you know, could I identify with these children actually and my own past and my own experience. And so then I went from there to work for the state, and I worked for the Missouri Women's Council. And I worked with welfare reform. And we had federal money to do training programs for women. You know, we could train them. We could set up childcare. We could get them a car. We could get them a job with their training. And we'd do all of these things for them and do the coaching and the counseling. And they would last a week at the new job, and they were gone.
They just weren't equipped, you know, even with all of those tools. It was a shock probably to have to keep their self-esteem up day in, day out.
That's right. It was such a shift, such a change, you know, that it was an inside-out thing. You can do these things on the outside, but if I don't feel like I'm worthy or good enough or capable on the inside, then it's really way too threatening.
Well, and don't you find that even when people have done the work, when they're getting ready to go to a new level, maybe in success or whatever, the old tapes start playing, and that's when your book is needed more than ever. I mean, to me, your book could be something that people could read over and over and over again and just open it and you'll find the perfect words.
Actually, that's kind of what I tell people. You know, read it, put it by your bed, just, you know, every night just open it. Wherever it falls open, that's what you need to read tonight. And you read something different every time. And that was really the intent, that this be a book that was not academic and not difficult to read, but it was easy to read. It was welcoming. It's pleasant. It's really quite attractive. And it's like, hey, you can start here. You can begin to notice and to look and to see and to see what you need to heal, and then open your heart to all the great things that are in there. So it was, I call it, Feelings 101. It's a place to begin. If you don't want to get into the deep academic stuff and wade your way through all of that, it's just kind and gentle and compassionate in terms of, let's just take a look.
So when you were working with the women, I mean, I find it fascinating that you segued from children to working with the women who are mothers and daughters, so to speak, but the adult population. And and this whole thing with feelings in the American culture, you know, people laugh about the passion about, you know, the Italians or how passionate other cultures are. But, you know, when it comes to Americans, it feels like we're almost, I don't know if the word's discouraged, but there's a lot of repressed feelings because, oh, you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about, you know, or,
yeah.
You know, you're just way too sensitive. You need to toughen up, you know, or, oh, that's ridiculous, and minimized. And boys, you know, it's changed, but it still hasn't changed that much. You know, boys are still supposed to be boys, you know, with their feelings. So with the work that in writing this book, and it's so interesting, there are a couple of different reviews, you know, that are online, and I know we did, you know, something in Spirit Seeker, but one of the reviews was saying that, you know, this is so contradictory to what we're taught in our culture, you know. And I can remember, I don't know, 20-something years ago when I first started, you know, when you do your own excavation, I remember someone saying, get out of your head, Cindy, go into your heart. And I said, what? I think if they would have said it one more time, I would have just pulled my hair out. I just didn't even understand it. And then one day it clicked, and I'm like, oh. So can you talk more about this guidance, because it's in the book over and over again, but can you let our listeners just get kind of a deeper understanding of what you're saying with the movement of letting your heart make your be your guidance, so to speak, versus the overriding wonderful brain that we have?
the brain that goes on and on.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Stop!
See, and really what our culture has taught us is that the brain is king. You know, everything happens in the brain. It controls our whole body, and everything starts in the brain, and it goes through the heart, and it controls everything. And it's really not true. The heart is the most electromagnetic, the most energetic organ in the body. In fact, it's like 60 times more energetic than the brain. And many times things do not start in the brain. They do start in the heart, and then it's fed to the brain. We have been fed this story about the brain and have failed to grow an understanding of the power that the heart has on our body and our whole system. It affects our nervous system and our hormones, and it affects our brain. And so we don't understand the power of this organ that's right in the middle of our body, number one. And number two is the very first thing to develop when we when an embryo develops. That's the very first thing. The body is organized around that heart. It carries so much energy. And so for us to get out of our heads, literally, and begin to feel our heart is like the most huge culture shock that any of us can experience.
You
like
know,
there is the brain.
Yeah, there is this book. I don't even remember the title of it. You know, I'm an avid reader. This was probably at least 10 or 15 years ago. I read this book, and it was written by a female surgeon who herself all of a sudden had heart problems and wound up having to have a heart transplant. After she had that heart transplant, she started craving different food. She started having different thoughts. And, you know, she wrote this whole book on this. She said, I don't know how, probably, you know, how doctors can get things that other people can't, but somehow or another she found out who the person was, where the heart came from, and she was having thoughts and feelings that came from the person who had this heart in their body before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Late state research has shown that over and over that, you know, heart transplants, and all of a sudden you're the other person.
It's
really
like,
amazing.
Okay, you know, I guess we needed a whole reprogramming, but, you know, and then heart math is another thing. I mean, Greg Braden talks about it. It's all over, and Greg Braden, when he did that research, it came from four different parts of the world all at the same time about about the whole deal with the heart and how it has such a consciousness. And it's and then on 9/11, they did a study. He talks about this where they took energy pictures of the Earth, and because people's hearts were so open globally after 9/11, you could see the whole energy of the Earth shifted, literally shifted from people praying for the United States.
Can you imagine if we could live like that every day, how it would change our world?
Well, yes, and this is the work that you're doing. You're on the front lines.
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, so why don't, let's talk about the title, I period M period heart. How does this come to be?
Actually, did you ever wake up one of those foggy things in the morning and something comes to you and you go, what?
Yes.
What's that? and so that's exactly what happened. So, you know, I thought, okay, fine. So I wrote it down, because if you don't write those things down, it's long gone, you know, or you can't pull it back up. So I did that and you know, wandered around with it for a while, and finally this consciousness came to me, oh, that's a book. Oh, well, cool. So let's just begin writing. And that's how this came to be. Strangely enough, I sometimes think I did not write the book. You know, I read it again today. I go back and read it and go, wow, that's really pretty cool.
Wow, that's just amazing. Well, and I love the artistic heart on the front. I mean, it's just so beautiful. And wasn't that created by a friend of yours, or?
Actually, the heart on the front is mine.
Oh, you?
That's
oh, I'm
my
so
artwork.
Sorry. I don't know why.
Oh,
I thought, okay,
fine.
Well, it's beautiful. It's
now,
just
I paint.
Beautiful.
I dabble, and that was one of the things that I, you know, just one night came out, and that's what came onto the palette when I was painting. And so it has all the colors in your heart that you might feel. I mean, it's all the colors of the heart is really what that's meant to be. So I have the original hanging in my house. So.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
So listeners, what this, you know, Sue's going to talk about the book a little bit more in a minute, but what I just want to give you a synopsis, and then if you do want to call in, all you have to do, if you have a question, we are able to take calls tonight. The phone number is 347-884-9914, and this book is really about feelings and being aware of them, accepting them, working with them, not resisting visiting them, not pushing them back into like a dark corner of your mind, saying, okay, there's a feeling here. What do I do with this? How can I work with this? How can I learn from this? How can I understand this? And it's really, Sue comes from many different angles and gives you, you know, ways of comprehending that when you deal with your feelings, you'll live with less anger, hurt and anxiety, et cetera. So let's just go there. And callers, all you have to do is call in the prompt will guide you, but you press number one, and that will let my producer know that there's a caller in online, and then he will bring you onto the call. So I'll check in just a few minutes to see if there's a caller with a question. But, you know, Sue, let's just talk about what feelings are and how they can look so differently to different people.
Well, you know, we're all different, and we all have different experiences, and we process those things differently. Something could happen to me, and I would just go, it was not a big deal, it was just an experience. The same thing could happen to you, and it would have a dramatic effect on you, and it would like make an imprint or an image that you retained in there. I mean, it would be there, and so a similar thing happens, and that imprint is already there, and if you haven't turned it loose and haven't let it go, then your mind and your body and your brain say, your heart say, oh, there it comes again. We got to be careful. We'll be hurt again. So let's close down here so we don't get hurt again. And so lots of times things happen and they build. We don't work through them. And so you have one incident, and then it kind of collects things, like collecting like a magnet. And it, all of a sudden you have this huge blockage of energy in there. And actually it's a blockage of energy that when something triggers that, fear strikes and anxiety strikes, and so it blocks you, it stops you. And so those are the kind of things that sometimes take longer to work out. But if you can work through them, let them flow through in the very beginning, this was just an experience. I'm going to put it on the ocean tide that goes out and let it float on away and not hang on to it anymore. Then they don't collect in there like dust in the back of your closet. Then you have to clean all of them out at one time. But that's really what's in feelings. Feelings are just energy. But, you know, feelings come from two categories. Feelings either come from love or they come from fear. And we have all kinds of names for both of them. You know, like we call fear, like, is confusion and anxiety and impatience and anger and despair or irritation are all feelings that come from fear. If we dig deep enough, we discover that.
You know, I'm an avid reader of The Course in Miracles, and I don't know, some of our listeners may have heard of it or not, but either way, there are some sayings in Course in Miracles that, you know, just your book just really is so perfect for it. It says, we're never upset for the reason we think, and every upset is a setup. And, you know, really and truly, I think that's why feelings are so complex and difficult for people who... like the women that you were talking about, here you are, you work with them, self-esteem 101, you help them interview, you help them, you know, figure out how they're going to, you know, work their lives to, like, create, you know, like, they now have a car, they now have clothes, they now have manifested this job, but then they walk in and they're taking their whole history with them in the first time that they're feeling like, oh my God, I just can't do this, I'm not good enough. And you know, the ego loves to just like keep us the same. And when we start breaking through. So with these feelings, I really like that you talk about there's really just two, love or fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. I mean, and that summarizes it. You know, what are we here? Are we here to be scaredy cats or... And a certain amount of fear is healthy, you know, yes, if we, you know, are in a critical situation. But what you're talking about is, like, what's holding you back?
Yeah, and you know, and the key to that is, you know, we're going to be afraid. But instead of using it to paralyze you, using it to take a look and go, okie doke, I'm afraid of this, so what do I need to look at? What do I need to know from this? This is in front of me so that I can learn and grow and learn something new about myself. Let's just plow right through it and look. And then you use it to your advantage. It's like a sign in front of you. You know, when you don't work with things, they keep coming back sometimes, and they get harder and harder each time they come back because you didn't see it. So, you know, I'm going to keep hitting with you until you go, hey, I get it. I need to work with this.
So what Sue talks about, you know, is that you know, anger, anxiety, regret, despair, irritation, impatience, these are all symptoms. These are all just symptoms. And basically what you're saying is that if you almost take love and start chiseling through these things and really figure it out, then you have the space to, like, really create what you want.
Yeah, and you can do that. Can I tell you a story? I had a bad
morning. Oh, my gosh,
morning.
I would love to. Yeah, let me
yesterday
hear.
Morning.
Okay.
And it was one of those things, you know, that I had these goals and these expectations for my morning, and they got interrupted, and I couldn't get through on the phone, and nothing happened right. And so by that mid-morning, I was going, oh, my gosh, you know, I was almost in a panic. And I thought, this is really ridiculous. But I was there. And so I had to run an errand, so I got in the car and ran my errand. I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to be with it. This is where I'm at. Don't like it, but it's here for a reason. I'm going to be with it. And I did that. So I got to my destination. All of a sudden, here I am in a puddle of tears. I thought, okay, I'm going to be with this. I'm just going to cry. And I didn't cry for very long, not very long at all. And so here I am sitting down. I go, okay, I don't feel very good. I don't like this negative energy coming here in me right now. So after the tears, I said, okay, I'm going to just start breathing. And I did. Start taking some really deep breaths, noticing my surroundings. It was a beautiful fall sunshiny day. Let's turn it around from fear to appreciate the wonderful day I was in. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I put my hands on my heart, and I felt, okay, what's this? What is this fear? Can I kind of let it go? Can I let it melt? And I kept breathing, and I kept looking at my surroundings, and I melted all that away. It's like I just soaked it in. And was with it, didn't run from it, and by breathing and looking at it with appreciation and gratitude for the world and where I was in, and knowing that in the now moment I was just fine, all of this wasn't really true, I could breathe it away. And, you know,
yeah.
So later in the day then, I got phone calls that took care of what I was twisted it out in the morning, you know, and friends came, and I had a wonderful day, had a walk with a friend, and all the stuff that I was all bent out of shape about really wasn't even true or important. And that's really what happens to us.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing is that you didn't, I mean, when you were just with the feelings and you didn't resist them, but you didn't also, like, analyze them with your head, like, why am I feeling this? You didn't do that either.
Matter.
You just went, okay, I'm just going to surrender rather than holding on to it. And, you know, that's a really soft state when we can do that and just surrender to that level.
And surrender is a really big word, that we surrender. Sometimes we just surrender it. You know, I'm in it. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to surrender it. And it's amazing what happens. It's like this loving energy from whatever you call it, spirit, God, whatever name you use it, comes to you and says, you know, you're okay, you're fine, I love you, the world's great, you have really nothing to be concerned about here. But we think we can control it, and we are the one that has to make the shift instead of just letting it go.
Well, and that's the part where we're just not trained with this. I mean, you know how you were talking about the children in school. You know, it wasn't my children's elementary school, but it was a school nearby, and, you know, it's a nice area, but it doesn't matter. No matter what area you're in, there are children who just don't have as much love as other children. And this principal would ask people who could donate clothes to do so to her, and she had a washer and dryer at school and would send she would have extra clothes for the children when they would show up without being dressed, you know, adequately. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, she would give them extra sparkle. And I thought, what an amazing principle. And to teach that that attitude of, you know, we're all in this together. So some children would bring things in, here, principal, these shoes are too little, you know, or here's this. And, you know, and it was just like this really community spirit, you know, within the school. And I don't know, I was talking to someone about this is another thing, but, you know, and then you can, you know, add whatever you'd like to this, but you know how you noticed, you know, these young children, I used to look at the pictures. You know, you'd have the individual picture of your kid, and then you'd have the class picture. And you could tell, even in first and second grade, sometimes the children just had already started to give up. You could see it
in
their auras, in their pictures, in their eyes. And, you know, so much of so much of the multi-generational things, you know, I once taught a workshop with a grandmother who's a psychotherapist, a mother who's a psychotherapist, and then the 16-year-old daughter. And one of the things that we did was we got to the core thought of whatever it was that was the main thought holding them back. And all three generations, two were psychotherapists, had the thought, I'm not good enough as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went on, and the three of them sat there and went, oh, my gosh, look at what we've created with the women in our family and the lineage. And they said in that moment, this is not true. And they you know, they started to shift it. But it was the love that shifted. And that's what you write about in your book. And I think that you come at it from so many angles. This is, you know, this looks like a simple little book. Ha ha. No, it isn't. It's like, I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Yeah. It says a lot in there. And that's why, you know, you go back and read it multiple times or open the page and go, this applies to what happened today. Yeah. And you're right. You know, we do carry patterns forward in generations. And we don't even realize they're there. And I'm so glad those women saw that. Because I have friends in my life who shifted the patterns in their family. They came from an abusive family of some kind, and they were not going to pass it on to their children. And they're still, some of those people I know and love today are still working with, I'm not okay.
Right.
I think if we're really real, all of us have a part of us that some mornings we wake up and go, oh, my goodness, who's in here? I'm not okay today. And that's when we have to shift and know that, you know, we are love. We are okay. That's who we are in spirit, and that's who we want to be in the world and be for ourselves. But, boy, the journey to get there is not always easy, and you know that, and I do too. And the ego and whatever comes in to give us some really interesting lessons with that sometimes to try to prove to us that we're not. But I think so many people in this world think that they're not okay. And that's just not true.
Well, and it's you know, it's fed the self-help movement, which is good. But, you know, it's funny. Not funny, but, you know, like 5 years ago I went through breast cancer, and I remember this person from the church I was attending at the time, she says, well, you're not supposed to get sick. You're like a life coach, and you're a this and you're that. And look at me. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm still on the earth plane. It was almost like this is the whole thing with thought is creative, and a lot of the new age, new thought, self-help movement, it's almost like another way of, well, what did I do to create this? What did I do? And that's the head part that you're talking about that keeps us paralyzed in the fear and keeps us from moving forward.
Yeah, that's the blame thing. There's something wrong with me. I'm the blame. I did it, you know.
Right.
It's my fault. Yeah.
So you address this in this book, and you talk about, you know, fear is the real source. And so, let's see, are there any listeners that have a question at this point for Sue? Because she can, she'd be more than willing to help you reframe it from fear to love. And she has wonderful tips in this book. So, you know, if you have a question, just push one on your phone, and Nate will bring you onto the call. But in the meantime, let's just talk a little bit about what fear looks like. And you have a wonderful diagram on page 44 in your book. It's just exactly what we just talked about with the blaming, the judgment, envy, impatience, shame, failure, perfection, jealousy, et cetera. So can you talk just a little bit about what do you do when you finally realize that you're kind of hanging out there and that's not where you want to be?
Well, I think what you do, number one, is you be real honest. And you say, oh, my goodness, this is a state of my feelings. They're negative. They're low energy. They're low consciousness. And you know what? They're not true. So now what am I going to do to turn them around? You know, and so maybe the first question you need to ask yourself is, okay, so what am I really afraid of here? You know, what am I afraid of, and where did this come from? You know, what situation do I believe to be true from my history, and it's a belief. Do I believe to be true? Maybe there was an abusive situation, and so you believe you were always not good enough. You were always just the farmer's daughter. You were always just a girl. And so this carries through. This is the history that you carry through, and you never turn it loose. And so what am I doing? What am I really afraid of? And then you do a little bit of digging. And, you know, to do that, maybe you put your hand on your heart and you breathe, and you breathe into your heart and let your heart tell you what's really going on with you, because your heart loves you. God loves you. And so open up to that heart and let the heart help you heal it, or help to look at it so you know what it is, and it will help you heal it. But if it's a really ingrained thing, it may take some time. And people will often tell you, no, sometimes we have to do the work, but we have to love ourselves in the process of doing the work and not beat up on ourselves because we have to do the work. We're really so wonderful with beating up on ourselves and judging ourselves and criticizing ourselves, which doesn't help us at all. This is where I am right now. I am in this feeling. I had an awful morning, and I'm in this feeling. I don't like it, but this is where I am. So I'm going to do the work to get out of it. And if I can let it flow and just turn it loose, that's one thing. If I have to go back and look at what am I afraid, what situation happened in the past, where in my body does this feel? Because, you know, we hold different things in our body. It may be in our stomach. Mine has always been in my shoulders or in our back and our neck. You know, why is this tight? How can I turn this loose? And then get yourself a piece of paper. Do some journaling. Just let it flow. I mean, don't try to stop it. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? You know, really be really honest with yourself. And don't run from it, but feel it. And that's what we don't do. We've been taught, you know, it's going to feel awful. It's not safe. I don't want to feel it again. I'll get hurt again. And so we run from it. But you know what? It doesn't go away because we run from it. It's still there. And so if you don't begin to deal with it, it's going to come back tomorrow or next week or next month, because actually this is a time in our history when it's time to clear those things out. This is a huge opportunity for us to grow right now. And it's a time to begin to clear them out, but not clear them out to criticize and judge ourselves, but to clear them out because I love myself enough to turn this loose.
You know, one of my my people that I've learned from, you know, we all have different people we're drawn to with well, it's Carolyn Mace. And the first, you know,
yes.
I stayed away from her for a long time because I just had heard stories of people like raising their hand in her classes, and the next thing you know, she was like.
But, and she's a little different. That's okay.
Oh, I know, but now she's so much softer,
she tells it like it is.
Oh yeah, because one of the first times I ever really was in her presence, she just said, you know, the time where we have years and years to talk and talk about it and go to psychotherapy, she said, that's gone. She said, with the way things are, she says, you just need to figure it out and you need to like just get going. And she said, and if you fall back down, pick yourself up and get going again. You know, so you know, that's Carolyn Mace. And then Sylvia Brown, I was at a seminar when Hay House Publications, and this was when they were introducing the radio show and everything, and Sylvia Brown was the Friday night opener, and there's 2,000 people in this room. She comes and she sits down, and at this time she was $800 for an hour reading, okay?
Whoa.
So she sits there and she says to this room, I'm so tired of people whining about their life and whining. She says, do you know, and the whole room is silent, like in shock. You know, you don't expect her to come out and say, you know, this.
It.
And then she says, and if you say you're not from a dysfunctional family, you're lying. They're all dysfunctional.
Uh-huh.
She's
uh-huh.
like,
absolutely.
She's like, so if you have, if you're not happy, then you need to like get going and figure it out and get off of it. And she's, and it
yeah.
was like, you know, I just sat there and I just thought, unbelievable. She's not mollycoddling people. She's just like saying, basically, you know, you pay me, but it's like, stop it. Snap out of it and get going. Like, you know, it's time to take control of your life. So when you're in a hard space, it's pretty darn hard to be angry with people.
Yes, it is. It makes it a whole difference in how you see the world, actually.
Right. And it's
you
like,
you see people,
you know,
differently.
Yeah, and you know the hard part, I think, for a lot of people with forgiveness, and you know, when you address some of this in your book, actually you touch on it a lot, is when we have when people have feelings of regret, resentment, or they've been abused, It seems to be that that becomes such a part of the story. Just like we were saying, the heart has a consciousness. These stories, people do not get how much these stories have critical mass. And the more you focus on them, the more what you're creating. So can you talk just a little bit about how going from fear into love can help shift this with
stories over and over day after day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same. It may have happened 30 years ago, but it's my story, and by gosh, I'm sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to live it today and tomorrow, and I'm not turning loose of it because that's who I am. I beg your pardon? That's not who you are.
You just wrote an article about this, like, can you let go? I was reading it, you know, and I really liked your analogy, if you would share, about the leaves falling from the trees. You know, like, you just wrote about this. Can you let it go?
Sure. You know, every fall, the leaves fall from the trees, and we expect them to, and they just, you know, really gently drift to the ground, and the wind comes along, and it blows them away. I mean, it's a cyclical thing. The trees, and they do it because in the springtime, they can sprout these new leaves, and it's whole new growth, and a whole new life, and a whole new season. And you know, if we just look at this, why can't we just drop our leaves and go on? You know, sometimes we just hang on so tight to all of this stuff that we carry around, all the rocks, all the walls we built to protect ourselves, and we've really imprisoned ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you go from love to fear, the first thing is to begin, and it's begin. It happened with me to begin to look at, okay, look at all around me. What can I appreciate all around me? But then, in the midst of all of that, I didn't say it, but I began to feel some compassion for me, and we are not very compassionate to ourselves.
No. It's you know, you grow up with, think of the poor people in China. That was my whole thing. Think of the poor people.
Yeah.
You always were told to think of people who had lesser things than you, or, you know, well, you know, there's starving people all over the world, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, excuse me, what about me? You know, but it's not really encouraged in our culture to put yourself first as far as working on yourself, et cetera. And, you know, if children were taught these basic tools, can you imagine how different the whole world would be?
If they were taught to balance their heart and their brain energy and taught how to listen to your heart, put your hand over your heart, focus on that area, breathe into your heart, what do you feel? And let's balance, you know, the knowledge, the energy from both in terms of living your life.
Mm-hmm.
It would change our relationships.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but do you think this is more, do you think this is a global, like, issue, or do you, I mean, I know each culture has their own.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, each culture I know has their own ways, but there are certain cultures that are just so much more loving with their children and so much more loving with the elderly. It's like it just feels like there's a disconnect right now with a lot of Americans. It's hard. I don't know how to explain it. And now the children, more than ever, they look like they're more connected because they have their cell phones, they have their Facebook pages, they have all this. But what I have kids from 13 to 25, and then I have stepkids that I raise that are all the way up into their 40s. And so, you know, I've spanned a lot of generations of raising kids, and I look at the young people today, and I don't know that it's easier. I think it's more complex, and I don't think they really know how to talk about their feelings.
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure, you know, a cell phone and all the electronic things really, I know people say it connects us. I'm not sure it really does.
I think it's not like
sitting down and having a really quiet conversation without the television being on and without the phone going off and without whatever. Can I really sit down? Can I really talk to you? Can we have an authentic conversation? You know, and that's just a huge thing for me. I love nothing more than that better. I mean, that's just the biggest joy in the world to really sit down and get to talk to someone heart to heart and really, you know, truly talk.
Oh, I know. There's a difference. And there's just a total difference. And, I try talking to my son sometimes, and I just said, you know, You know, there's something to be said for not playing those games and just sitting down. And, you know, I don't know. It's just that their lives are so fast with all of their things. But I really like in your book, I'm going to come back to your book again for a moment here, in the part where I'm stopping myself when I'm critical with myself. I'm tired of beating on myself. When I catch myself, I ask myself some questions. And this is, so listeners, this is, you know, where Sue was saying, you know, you can journal with this thought, with these feelings. You can, you know, sit and do the self-inquiry. But I just am going to read some of the questions that Sue suggests you ask yourself. And this is only one half of one page in this book. So this will tell you it's cram-packed. Okay, so what was I telling myself? What was I feeling? How can I see this differently? How can I forgive myself? What payoff am I getting from the sympathy, attention? Because when we repeat behaviors, we're getting mm-hmm. something out of it, or we would give it up. So basically, what's the payoff? What am I, you know, with this pain in my body, you know, or whatever? Then are people feeling sorry for me? You know, or am I getting attention? What lesson can I learn from this? What about this? Can I find to love? Which is part of the giving up the resistance and surrendering. What can I love about this experience so that it's not all awful? What action steps am I going to take to change this? Would my best friend judge this behavior? I really like that question. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Would my best friend judge this behavior? Because oftentimes our best friends are like our most loving cheerleaders, you know, and would they judge us, you know? I thought that was a great question. And then the final one is, do I have a friend who can help me with this? And, you know, it's interesting, you know, being in the line of work, I'm sure you get the same thing. Sometimes friends will call, and what I will say to them is, do you want me to listen, or do you want me to listen and give feedback? Because sometimes people just need someone to listen, and then they feel better, which is what you're saying. You're listening to yourself when you do this self-inquiry like this.
And sometimes people just need to say it out loud to you. I have a friend who goes off, and she talks and talks, and she says, oh, I'm talking too much. You know what? But I figured it out, talking too much.
Right, because
you
she's
know,
already shutting herself
loud.
Down before she even gets going because she's feeling guilty of taking up too much time.
And see, and often our best friends would be very loving and kind and compassionate to us and would say, you know, come on, you know, quit beating up on yourself. Let's do something to make this work. What can we do? Let's think about an action. How can we change this? And we're really not very good about doing that with ourselves. We give it to other people. But we're not very good about being loving to ourselves. We don't know how to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be compassionate. We can't be kind.
Right. I want to go ahead now and give, if you would give your website information, and also I know you're offering classes, you're offering, you know, you do speaking. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I want to make sure we have all that, you know, here so the listeners know how to find you after the show and to find a way to your website, and I do want to talk about your jewelry too. So how do people purchase your book? How do they find your website? And just tell us about some of the services that you're offering in conjunction with the book.
The website on which you can purchase the book is heartselfhelp.com, heartselfhelp.com. And on that website, you may purchase the book, and you may also purchase the jewelry. And can I talk about the jewelry a bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. I want you to tie it all in because, you know, it's really lovely how you've tied it all in together.
Actually, the jewelry is a pendant, and it was designed by a friend of mine in one of those split-second, you know, scratchy drawings, and she said, this is the I Am Heart pendant. And it's done in sterling silver, and it's, of course, it's a heart connected at the top, but the two legs are not connected at the bottom. It's a very loosely drawn heart, and it's called One. We are one with each other. We are one with God. And that's where the name of the pendant comes from. We are one. And so the top is the one connection. And then depending on whether you give it to yourself or whether you give it to someone else, if you give it as a gift, then one leg of the heart is you, is your heart. One leg of the heart is the person that you give the gift to. And the heart's open at the bottom so that the love can flow and give and take, you know, receive and take. Between two people. And that's really the gist of the I Am Heart pendant. They are made in Jefferson City, Missouri. They are a mid-Missouri made. A friend of mine said, hey, I'll do these for you. And he makes them on order. And so this is not done in China or wherever. This is done right here in Missouri. But the intent is, you know, that it shows our connection to each other. Or one of the poems that go with it, in fact, there are two poems that go with the pendant when you buy it. And the other poem is God and Me. One arm is God's arm. One arm is my arm. And God and I are connected. And the love flows between us. And it's give and take of that loving energy. So they're really way cool. They're really way attractive. And people just really, in fact, people hang on to them.
Oh, I
Someone
can understand
said to
why.
Me the other day, I'm wearing it, and, you know, I had a really tough morning, so I found myself hanging on to that pendant.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a sense of security and a sense of strength.
You know, I think heart, you know, when you say heart, cooler, you know, in any language, heart says it all. I mean, it just,
yes.
It's one of these words, you know, that just, you know, the onomatopoeia, like a word like the gloaming is like what the Scottish word for how long it takes for the sun to go down. And, you know, there's just certain words that when you say it, everyone understands it. And you'll see people say, oh, my heart, and they put their hands to their heart. And, you know, it's just a huge center in the body, a huge energy center. And children understand it. I mean,
yeah.
but you know, we just kind of lose our way as we get a little bit older. And I just love how no matter what it is in this book that you're talking about, you bring it back to heart. Bring it back to heart. Two choices: love or fear. And you know, I just really think it's a brilliant, brilliant book. And the pendant, you know, I mean, that's wonderful. One of the first conferences that I attended with, like, you know, a Hay House conference with all these different authors, there was a feng shui author, and, you know, most of the listeners know I'm a feng shui consultant, and I just love working with feng shui. And she said, when you come to a conference like this, she said it's really a good idea to take something home with you, whether it be a piece of jewelry, a book, it really doesn't matter, but something that has the energy and vibration of the conference, and then you will take that with you. And that's how the pendant is with this book. I mean, to me, the pendant has the whole vibration of everything you created in this book. And, you know, like when you were describing the person who had read your book and, you know, she had kind of a challenging day and she's just like rubbing the pendant and it just brings solace.
Yeah. It just feels good when I wear it and it's hanging down there by my heart. It's like, you know, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who I am in terms of being a loving person and being in, and actually, you know, in the book, I go on to talk about our connection to spirit, and our heart is our connection to spirit and our connection to God. God is love. You know, we are one with that love, and this is the heart expresses that. And it changes our world in so many ways when we can live out of that loving energy as opposed to letting that fearful energy come into our life. And, you know, many times, like with me, the fear was absolutely unreal. It was unfounded. I just got myself all twisted up. But that happens a lot to us every day. And so then we can go back to, I'm going to hang on to my pendant, I'm going to put my hand on my heart, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to know that, you know, even though I feel I'm not okay, that I am okay.
Right.
I'm whole.
Well, and you have a whole section in the book on gifts to create miracles. I Am Heart.
Yeah.
Gifts to create miracles.
I love that part.
Well, I mean, would you, you know, let's talk a little bit about this because you give so many tips. Before we do that, do you want to talk about like the lectures? Like, are you book signing? Do you have what?
I got distracted.
I know. I want to make sure we get this on the tape so people can hear it, and then we'll come back to how to create the miracles in your life. So what are you? What else are you doing? You know, now, not what else. I know you co-authored 5 other books, and this is your first, you know, book solo. And so, just tell the listeners, you know, if they can, you know, what else you know, can you do a seminar in other cities? What all can you do?
Well, number one, I told you about one website. Let me go back and tell you about the second website.
Okay.
The second website is actually the first one. It's called imheart.net. No A, imheart.net. And on this one, you will find information about my speaking. You will find information about, I did some radio programs. Those are on that site. But more importantly, there are over 200 blogs on that site.
And, oh, I remember seeing that, yes.
The blogs are about anything and everything. Someone says something to me, and it's just an everyday experience or expression or something that happens to click, and I write about it and try to talk about it in a way that in the end they offer a solution. Hey, think about this. So a lot of people really enjoy the blog, so that's something you might enjoy schooling and looking through, and they're all over the place. There's a variety of them. In fact, we're going to make them into an e-book real soon, so
look
forward
fabulous.
To that.
That's the new way. It's the new way. And doing the free seminars, you know, where you talk about, I mean, there's the 13 grandmothers, the indigenous grandmothers, there's 3 nights of that. And, you know, it's just fascinating how many people are offering so many things. And it's global, Sue. I mean, because the Internet is bringing us all together. This show, I mean, I had a traditional radio show for many months. Almost, it was right about 9 months. And I was a guest on the show for many, for a couple of years before that. And then the station was bought out and all the programming was changed. And I was like, I was approached by a lot of different internet things, and I thought, no. And even as far back as 2.5-3 years ago, publicists that I was working with, you know, publicists that were handling authors, they're like, no, we want a real radio station where it's measurable. What a difference a few years has made, because mm-hmm. now everyone's on the internet because it doesn't cost a thing. You know, people, mm-hmm. you know, with Blog Talk, we have people in the chat room tonight, and, you know, they will sometimes email their questions in, but we're reaching so many more people. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing with doing teaching online. And it's really like a university without walls, because, you know, it's just amazing. So,
there are so many more healing things that are being known to people. You know, we used to have to talk it out and gut out feelings. But, you know, there are other ways now of dealing with, like the shifting and the opening to your heart, your hands on your heart. There's all kind of energy work now that people can do that help you to clear those things.
Right,
and we
right.
didn't know about those before.
Well,
that's wonderful.
You know, I interviewed a lady from Poland who is teaching doctors and nurses about emotional healing, because they're saying that a lot of the physical illnesses that are happening in the hospitals, they're spiritual crises. And the spiritual crises is they're living in fear, they've given up, they don't know what to do, they've lost mm-hmm. their way. And so this author is Alexandra Soleus, and I interviewed her, she's on one of there, and then there's also Amin, who's teaching another form of healing. But basically, when you look at all of the different healing disciplines, you know, whether it's Reiki or whatever, what they're doing is infusing the person with light and love to give them the energy, the boost, so to speak, so that they can then, like, open their own hearts. It's just, you know, with these energy modalities, what people are doing, you know, whether it's touch for health, it really doesn't matter. I mean, all of them, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but the same premise is behind all of them. You know, and it's what Jesus taught, and, you know, love is the master healer, and it's throughout every culture. Love, love, love.
And, you know, when you surround yourself with light, then fear can't stay there. Fear can't stay in light, and that's what they're really doing with these people. They're giving them high vibrational loving energy heals the lower vibrational fearful energy. That's really the basis of what's happening with that.
So, listeners, we are listening to Dr. Sue P. McDaniel. She is the author of I Am Heart. This is a 2-hour show tonight. We're going to talk about, in just a moment, gifts to create miracles. But I want to just tell you just a couple of things about Spirit Seeker. You know, Sue has contributed to our magazine. It was in the August issue, which it was the July issue. I apologize. It was the July issue of Spirit Seeker. And starting now, all of our magazines are archived. As I said earlier in the program, the online edition is becoming larger, and we will have much more in the way of articles, because publishing, this is the way publishing is going. You know, we still want to keep a print edition in the Midwest, but truly, publishing is going online. I mean, everywhere you're going, newspapers, even the ones that are in print, you know, it's funny, like, we have one newspaper in our city, but since it has gone online, I read the news every day now, practically. Mm-hmm. You know, and the 20-year-olds, that's how they read it. You know, my son's 25. By the time he even starts to stay, he's already read news from 4 and 5 sources. So we just want to let you know that Spirit Seeker is trying to keep up with technology at its best. And And I do want to just mention one thing. If you are in the St. Louis area, I will be teaching a Get On Board With Your Intention Feng Shui Vision Board class where you work with 9 areas of your life in setting intention. So if you're in St. Louis, I'm limiting this class to a small group. So you just call the Spirit Seeker office, 636-530-7579. And we also have an email list to let you know about. Like tonight, anyone who has emailed us is now on our email list, and we let you know who we're interviewing on the radio show. We let you know when the new magazine is online. And we just let you know Mind, Body, Spirit events. We don't sell our list, so the only times you get anything or if it's really someone or somehow an event connected with Spirit Seeker or, you know, more of a national event. So Sue was a speaker at our 26th Holistic Living Expo in August, and she had a booth there, and this is, you just never know who you're going to meet. You just never know who you're going to meet through.
It's really fun. Yeah.
I know, and it's just coming together as a community. We're all in this together. So we're
right.
Going to close my next guest coming on in just a few minutes is going to talk about the what's happening in Bosnia with the largest pyramid excavation in the world, larger than even Egypt. So we just have a few more moments, and what I'd like to do with the last part, so if you will just give us a few tips on how to create miracles in your life, because really, it's everybody can do this. It's just we. So give us some tips on how to create miracles.
You know, the first tip I want to give someone is to laugh. Oh my goodness, you know, laugh deeply and loudly and a belly button laugh. You know, giggle and chuckle and grin all the way from your belly button, because that changes your day if you can laugh about the world. And the second thing is smile at someone. You see people going down the street and it's like, smile at them, and they will generally smile back. You may change their day. You may make their life really different by someone just simply acknowledging them and smiling at them. The third thing I want to say is, you know, give a compliment. It's amazing what happens when you truly, honestly, and from the heart, give someone a compliment, when you show you appreciate them, when you show that you see them as a person, because we really have kind of gotten to be in a place where we overlook people. So you're focusing on people, you know, and a really big thing in my life is to really listen. People know when you're not listening. They can tell by your body language. They can tell by your fidgeting around. They would tell by not looking at them. They know when you really don't care about what you have to say. So even if you don't want to, you know, just for a bit, really listen, ask questions, focus. Let that person know that they're important. It can make a huge difference in people's lives if you just really listen. And you know what? You might accidentally learn something along the way by doing that. I think another thing you can do is to be cheerful. And when I go over my spell the other morning, I went into the grocery store and intentionally spoke to several people because I needed to get out of my funk. I needed to be cheerful and be the person I wanted to be. And so speak to people, say something, comment, be cheerful, be upbeat, find something to laugh and have fun with. Have fun with life. We get so competitive, we get so wrapped up in running that sometimes life really kind of ceases to be fun. And so I think we can do that for people. How much more time do I have, Cindy?
We are at our close, and what I can say is these last words in the whole book, the whole interview, I mean, they're wise words, just very, very wise words. So this is Dr. Sue McDaniel, who has been my guest this evening. And Sue, please give your website one more time. Website, I should say.
HeartSelfHelp.com and IamHeart.net.
So I just really want to thank you. Thank you so much for being my guest this evening. And, you know, we are all connected. And I just love how you've just said, you know, it's a choice, love and fear. And, you know, fear can immobilize us. And the minute we just make a decision, no, that's not how I'm choosing to live. And, you know, I think when we remember that we're spiritual beings having a human experience and that, you know, that's what enlightenment means. So many people forget. It means lightening up. Like when you said, you know, just, and you never know who you're going to help with your smile or your kind words.
Oh, no.
And that's where that compassion comes in. And, you know, we need to love our children and we need to just realize we're all in this together. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All
I enjoyed it a whole lot.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you and good night.
Good night.
And, okay. So, listeners, that was Dr. Sue P. McDaniel, and we're going to bring our next guest on in just a moment. But I just want to tell you just a little bit about our next guest. There is a conference that is going to be coming to the Chicago area, and I met Joanne Macko, oh my goodness, many, many years ago, and she is the producer of this event. It's called the Lightworkers Conference, and Joanne Macko's artwork has graced our covers of Spirit Seeker magazine many times throughout the year. She does these amazing angels, and for the last 5 years she's had a booth at the Celebrate Your Life conference that I've attended in Chicago, and then I found out about her event. I was like, really? Like, how many hats do you wear? And she's just really very talented, and she so there is an ad in Spirit Seeker magazine this month, and so she is bringing my next guest, I'm hoping I'm saying his name correctly, Dr. Saimir Oska. Oh boy, I even practiced this. Oska, I'll say it in a moment. He will say his name when he comes on. And he is from Bosnia, lives in Houston, in the United States, but he has done amazing work with the largest pyramid under the sun, and it's in Bosnia. So he's Bosnian-born, lives in Houston. He's discovered ancient pyramids. It's in Bosnia, which consists of 5 colossal stone structures. I could go on and on. He's been honored as the Man of the Year. He has been worked with people from all over the world. He has volunteers who have helped him excavate the you know, he has volunteers the last summer, so we're going to hear about that. So so Nate is my guest here and ready to come on and join me. Well,
not as yet.
Okay, all right. So
do you want to play some music or do you want to keep talking?
I'm going to talk for a few minutes, and then if our guest is not here, then I'll... You know what? Why don't you play music for just a moment? Because I did have a phone call a few minutes ago, and maybe that was them with a question. So
okay, cool.
We're going to play music for a moment, listeners, but don't go away because this is going to be a fascinating interview. So stay put. I'll be right back.
All right, here's some John Two Hawks from a previous episode.
Okay, thanks, Nate.
We are made of earth, fire, water, wind. We share one earth, one sun, and one moon. Let us live together as one people. Help us, great mystery, to mend the sacred hoop, to heal our brokenness, and to find once more our place in the web of life.
Meyer, and this is the Spirit Seeker radio show, and in just a moment our guest will be joining us. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about him before he comes on, trying to reach him. Okay. He is going to be the main, he's the main featured speaker, let's just be honest, at the Lightworkers Conference happening October 14th through 16th. It is in the Chicago, Illinois area. It's in Lyle, Illinois, and I'm going to give you the website for the conference. It's lightworkersconference.com, and so this is just fascinating. I have been to Egypt. It was in 2008, and these pyramids were colossal, and the ones in Bosnia are the largest anywhere in the world, and that's what we're supposed to be hearing about. So I'm just going to talk about it in case our guest, for some reason, something has come up. One second. Okay. All right. My email is now sent to our guest. Okay. So let's just talk about just a little bit about this. So Dr. Saimir Osmanagic, and I'm so sure I'm not saying this correctly, he's the one who discovered the ancient complex in Bosnia. And he has pictures on his website, which is www.semirosmanagic.com. I'm going to repeat that. It's kind of long, but it's www.semirosmanagic.com. This excavation has had people from all over the world. The first international scientific conference about this Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids was held in Sarajevo back in 2008, and there were 55 leading experts from Egypt, Russia, China, Poland, Saudi Arabia, the United Kingdom, Croatia, Austria, Montenegro, and Bosnia giving full support for the doctor's efforts and recommending establishment of the Center for Pyramid Studies in Bosnia. So this is you know, really something, and Samir has authored and narrated a 12-episode documentary, Search for the Lost Civilization, for the State Bosnian Television, which is based on his book, Civilizations Before the Official History, and filmed in Peru, Bolivia, Easter Island, Costa Rica, Mexico, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Malta, Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon. And all of this is on his website. He lectures extensively and promotes the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids Project. And when I sent out the notice for the radio show, my very dear friend, who is from Bosnia, said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're interviewing him on your show." So he's well known throughout the world. And his background in education is amazing. He's got a PhD in sociology of history. He studied the Mayan civilization. He has a Master of Sciences in International Economics from the University of Sarajevo. He has a BS in Bachelor of Science in Political Science, Bachelor of Science in Economics, 2 years training in sociology. So, and he's a published author. He has 10 books about ancient civilizations. He studied the Mayan world, Peruvian, Mexican, Pacific, African, and ancient European civilizations. These have all been published in the United States, Turkey, Estonia, Croatia, and the Bosnia. He's had all kinds of media exposure. He's been on CNN, ABC, BBC, National Geographic Channel. He's been on NTV in Moscow, which is the most popular Russian TV. He's been watched in Italy, Croatia, Turkey, Macedonia. I could go on and on and on. This man's website is just pretty amazing. And in addition to all of this, let me see if he's here. Is my guest here by chance? Nate?
Not yet, sorry.
He is here? Oh, not yet. Okay. So we're just going to talk for a few more minutes, and then if something may have happened, I know that he has been traveling extensively. So you're going to get the interview without the interview. So what I'm going to tell you is just a little bit about the significance of the Bosnian Pyramid discovery. In April 2005 is when Dr. Saimir Osmanagic, which I'm butchering every time, I'm so sorry, it's when he first traveled to the town of Visoko, which is 20 miles northwest from Sarajevo, which is the capital of Bosnia. And his attention was caught by two regularly shaped hills, which he later named the Bosnian Pyramids of the Sun and the Moon. And for thousands of years, the locals that lived here just considered these hills this natural phenomenon because they were covered by soil and vegetation. However, when the doctor first saw the triangular faces and obvious corners and the orientation toward the cardinal points, he knew that they had to be constructed by a force other than nature. So, and because he had been investigating pyramids for decades, he knew very well the pyramids in China, Mexico, Guatemala, and El Salvador had the same type of soil and vegetation coverage, which isn't unusual. And so in 2005, he started working on this project and paid construction companies and geologists to do the main core drilling and geomorphological analysis, and then he announced it to the world in a press conference that the first pyramids in Europe had been discovered, because prior to this time, they were always in other parts of the world. So 2005 is really when this discovery was made. And then, as with all things, it takes a while to really get global attention and funding. And so he established the nonprofit Archaeological Park, Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation, and since that time, the pyramid investigations in Bosnia have become the world's largest interdisciplinary archaeological project. So they've spent over 340,000 hours in this excavation, sample testing, and radiocarbon dating. And what they're finding is that there are this valley of the pyramids in Bosnia consists of five pyramids discovered to date, which he has named the Bosnian Pyramids of the Sun, Moon, Dragon, Mother Earth, and Love. And the site also includes an amazing complex underneath the ground that's a huge underground labyrinth. And they say that this discovery is history-changing for several reasons, and basically, as I mentioned, they're the first pyramids discovered in Europe, and the site includes the biggest pyramidal structure in the world. The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, with its height of over 220 meters, is much higher than the Great Pyramid of Egypt, which is 147 meters. And I have been inside the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and let me tell you something, you know, crawling up to the top and being in the different chambers and everything, it's just quite amazing. I can't even imagine climbing to the top of this pyramid in Bosnia. But it's they say that the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun has the most precise orientation towards the cosmic north of any pyramid. It's completely covered by rectangular concrete blocks, and the properties of the concrete, such as the extreme hardness and low water absorption, are according to the scientific institutions in Bosnia, Italy, and France. And this material is much superior to the modern concrete materials. And this is like going back, you know, forever ago. And the pyramids that they're finding covered by soil, they're saying, are over 12,000 years old. So this finding confirms that the Bosnian pyramids are the oldest pyramids on the planet. And there are pictures, and there have been ceramic sculptures that have been discovered in the underground labyrinth with a mass of up to 20,000 pounds, which makes them the largest so far from the ancient world. So 20,000 pounds for one sculpture made out of this material that is better than the concrete of today. So, you know, when you study all this, it's quite fascinating. It says the list of miracles in Bosnian archaeology does not end here. In the same vicinity, we discovered the tallest tumulus in the world, 61 meters high. And on the other side of Silbury Hill in England, the other one, it's only 60 meters high. And this one is even taller than that. So the Bosnian tumulus consists of two-layer megalithic terraces, clay layers, and artificial concrete layers. So physicists have been studying this, and they detected an energy beam coming through the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, and they measured it to the frequency of 28 kilohertz. And, you know, anyone who's done anything with sound therapy knows that 28 megahertz is found over and over and over again, and it's just pretty amazing. And then they found in the underground labyrinth, they found three chambers in 2010 in a small blue lake. And energy screening shows that the ionization level is 43 times higher than the average concentration outside, which makes the underground chambers healing rooms. Because what we work with in healing is taking the body from an acid to an alkaline state. And the way that is done is changing the ions in the body. And so that's where the healing occurs. When we are acidic and there's inflammation or there's something that's out of whack in the body, that's what creates the disturbance. So here are these ancient healing chambers with sound frequency megahertz, and also with the ionization level 43 times higher than the average concentration outside. So, I mean, this is just a phenomenal find. And Dr. Samir will be talking about this at the conference in Lisle, Illinois. This is his debut release presentation of the latest historic findings. So this is exciting that he is in the Midwest and speaking at the Lightworkers Conference. I could go on and on, but a lot of this is on his website, and you know, there's just so much. They've had over 500,000 tourists in the period of 2005 to 2011, and last year he had an international summer camp for volunteers, and they attract over 500 volunteers from six continents every year. And he has pictures and everything on his website. Nate, have we heard anything from our doctor? I'm assuming not. Okay, so I'm just going to give the website one more time. The Lightworkers Conference website is www.lightworkersconference.com. And the Dr. Samir Osmanagic, oh my gosh, I know I'm saying this wrong. I even practiced it. I went online and learned the English pronunciation, so I am so sorry. But the website is www.semirosmanagic.com. What I can tell you from the time I spent in Egypt is that when I was in Egypt, the hieroglyphs in some of these places were just phenomenal. One of the places that we visited was in the far back corner. You would look up and you would see hieroglyphs of, you know, these pictures of helicopters, submarines, like way before there were helicopters and submarines on Earth, okay? One of the complexes that was, you know, just, they showed all the medical instruments. They showed forceps delivering babies. We're talking about way back when. And they had clay pacifiers that were made for little babies. And, I mean, they had all the medical instruments that we're using today, but these were used thousands of years ago. Now, I don't know all the things that have been found in Bosnia, but that's older than the pyramids in Egypt. So, you know, when we would go to the pyramids in Egypt, we would be leaving our hotel at 3:30 and 4 in the morning. And the first few days, we all were cranky and complaining, like, why do we have to get up at 4 o'clock to get on a boat, to be on a bus to go to a boat to go to the Temple of Isis and get there at 6 in the morning? Well, we quickly learned that when we would come out of our private time at the temples, we would come out like maybe at 8:30, and we would be leaving the island where the Temple of Isis was, and then all the boats with all the tourists would be arriving as we were leaving. And when you saw the energy of every one of these boats pulling up and all these people running to the Temple of Isis or running to the Great Pyramid, that was the same thing with the Great Pyramid in Egypt. We had to get up at, like, I don't know, some ridiculous hour in the morning, but they were cooler. And when we came out, I'll never forget this, here we are up in this pyramid way at the top doing sound healing, sacred ceremony, and then, you know, and when you go up, you're like on a, like, it's a ladder and you're in a crawl space and you have to scrunch down and then you have to, I mean, you have no idea what this is like. And the lights went out. Supposedly this had only happened a few times ever in the history of the pyramid, but the lights went out when we were in there, of course. So when we came out, you come out this like little doorway in the middle of this pyramid, and then you look out and there is the desert filled with tour buses from just everywhere. And so you quickly learned that you didn't complain because you had this private time. Our tour guides arranged for all of this private time so that we could do ceremony and just really, really be with the energy of these civilizations. And, you know, one time we were in the Temple of Dendera, I thought for sure we had to be the last time. We were there at midnight, and when we came out at 1:30, there was another group going behind us. So what does that say? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. So so if you have the chance to see, I'm sure he'll have slides and everything. There's so many pictures on his website, and, you know, I'm just delighted that Joanne Macko is bringing him to the Lightworkers Conference in Chicago. And the dates for the conference are October 14th through 16th. And I will have this gentleman back as my guest on another occasion, because I would love for everybody to hear about it. And I apologize. He's been traveling extensively, so there must have been some type of mix-up with his schedule. So we're going to close with letting you know just a little bit about Spirit Seeker. I just want to mention, Spirit Seeker is what makes this radio show possible, and the advertisers and the readers are what make the magazine possible. So we're all in this together. I wear many hats. I have published the magazine for 14 years. I'm very well known throughout the United States and into Canada and into Europe, but more Canada and the United States as a psychic. I call myself an intuitive life coach. I get to use all my skills and feng shui, energy healing, and energy medicine, along with all of my different things that I've trained in, like I don't know, I stopped counting at 15 different healing disciplines from all over the world. I studied with international teachers and meditation and all kinds of different things, Qigong, et cetera. And what I do is I just take all of these lovely skills and the knowledge that I have learned from all of the wonderful teachers and authors that I've studied with, and I get to use all of that in my work. So, you know, if you're listening to the show and you know someone who would like some advice in their life or just needs help, that's what I do. I also do long-distance feng shui consultations. I also do long-distance and in-person if you happen to be in the Midwest. But for the most part, I'm doing a lot of my dowsing and sound healing remotely. I'm doing feng shui consultations remotely. I have an energy school in St. Louis. I teach people Reiki and feng shui, and I have a feng shui class coming up and a Reiki class coming up, and I just love teaching. I love being a student. I will always learn, you know, forever more. So, and then this show is a weekly show, and next week I have the honor of interviewing an author from Europe, from Germany. I'll be interviewing Thomas Pope, the author. He's a co-author. He and his wife wrote The Code, Unlocking the Ancient Power of Your Birthday. It's the best-selling book in Europe, and according to the authors, Johanna Ponger and Thomas Pope, knowing the real power of your birth date can empower you in every aspect of your life, from what colors to wear, understanding your personality traits, your strengths and weaknesses, relationships, health issues, and much, much more. That will be from 7 until 8 next week. And then from 8 to 9, I will be interviewing Grandmother Silver Star, who will be one of the teachers at the 11-11-11 Cahokia Star Knowledge Gathering. And so you can find out about the authors that I will be interviewing at www.birthdaycode.com, and you can enter your birth date and get information. And you can find out about the 11-11-11 conference. The Cahokia Mounds are the pyramids of the Midwest. They really are. They're quite fascinating. The mounds in the middle of nowhere, and then here they are. And so you can find out more about that gathering at comewalkinbeauty.com. I am also interviewing later in the month on October the 18th, Ian Lawton and Carla McClellan, on the topic of does your spiritual practice include fun? So they are going to be talking about exploring a new phase in Christianity, one that moves past the God of theism and focuses on the God within, between, and around us. On October 25th, I will be interviewing Joshua Shapiro and Katrina Head, who are crystal skull explorers. And Joshua is the author of Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls, etc. He is going to be one of the speakers, featured speakers at the 11-11-11 conference, but he's also going to be in St. Louis teaching a workshop the week before before the conference. And then November 1st is Scott Bloom. Many of you know him from the Daily Om, which has Daily Om music, Daily Om astrology, Daily Om saying for the day, etc. He's brilliant. He offers the world such a wonderful gift, and he has written several books. This is his third in a series. He's written Waiting for Autumn, Summer's Path, and his recent one is Waiting for Winter Moon Rises. So that's the third part in a series. So this show can be listened to live each and every week from 7 until 8 or 7 until 9. I will be doing readings live on October the 18th and 25th from 8 until 9 after I interview my guests. And that's just my service, my way of giving. And, you know, as any of you that have experienced my readings, you know that for the most part, I read over the phone. Even in St. Louis, people oftentimes prefer to read over the phone because it's the same whether you're in person or on the phone. It really makes no difference. So Spirit Seeker can be read at spiritseeker.com. I just really want to give thanks to all of our listeners, and I want to thank all of you that have been favoriting the show. It increases our ratings. It brings us to the front of the Blog Talk site. And then also, if you send an email to info@spiritseeker.com, then we add you to our email list, and then we let you know when the radio shows are coming, etc. So we just appreciate all of your support, all of your love. I want to thank Nate, my producer, the man behind the scenes that, you know, makes this all work, and he gets everything up and sends out the notices and, you know, just, you know, it takes a lot of people to make this all work. And if you would like to be a sponsor of a show, as a sponsor of a show, this is something new that we're introducing. You will get a commercial. You will be mentioned. You will be mentioned in the paper, on the website, and during the interviews. This is a way for us to reach more people. If you would like to be a part of Spirit Seeker Magazine, we have the online part that is read. Well, actually, if you're in the print edition in the Midwest, you're automatically on the website, but we have fabulous introductory advertising rates for the online edition only. So this month's October issue is 24 pages in the Midwest, but it's 28 pages online, and we expect that to grow each month. Okay, so to reach Cindy Meyer, 636-530-7579, or send me an email to info@spiritseeker.com. And remember, there's an icon on the Spirit Seeker site that takes you to Blog Talk, and every interview I've ever done from, you know, the very beginning of my experience with Blog Talk is archived there. And there's some fabulous interviews, and you can listen to them morning, noon, or night. So if you're having trouble sleeping, or if you're just like, you know, Dr. Sue McDaniel was on earlier saying, you know, if you have a rough day, you know, and you need something to be inspiring, just go to the Spirit Seeker site, click on Blog Talk, and the next thing you know, you're listening to someone offering their wisdom like we had earlier tonight. Okay, so thank you, thank you, thank you from my heart to yours, and may you have a wonderful evening, and may you have a wonderful week, and I will be back next week. Namaste.